listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flueckiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi there, and welcome to our show today. Today, I've called this Living with Purpose and Power. Living with Purpose and Power. And, you know, I had a chance this last weekend to speak at three different times at events this weekend. And one of the times was about creating a creation of documents, a personal manifesto. I want to talk a little bit about personal manifestos today. I want to talk about how creating a guiding document or constitution of your life plays into living with purpose and power. So first, let's get some definition. Living with purpose and power, what does that even mean? Do you, and this, these are just some questions for you to think about. And they're not rhetorical questions. For me, they're front and center. And these questions and their answers and what I've done with them have changed my life completely. You know, in 2007, now 16 years ago, I was a completely different person. I was just finishing a 30-year career in a particular industry. It was a successful career. I had a lot of high-ranking positions in the U.S. and Canada, and I made a lot of money and all the things that typically are hallmarks of a successful career, except I wasn't happy. I'd, you know, in one case, written some really big legislation that still now, 15 years later, is in place and governing a bunch of important things. So all of the stuff that looks like big trappings, they were all there for me. But here is the kicker. The kicker is I fell into that career. I never went and made a conscious choice, you know, considering what I wanted to do. Now, on another episode, I talked about, I used this little symbol here with my fingers in three, you know, a rope braided together, or you think of a DNA helix, which has three strands instead of two. Now, we know DNA has two, but think of a three-stranded DNA helix. I talked about that the other day, about how to find your superpower, how to find a purpose. Now, sometimes when we talk about purpose, it seems like this sort of airy-fairy altruistic thing out here. You know, go find some cause to support. And maybe that's right for you. But your purpose is not, it's your unique thing. And we talked in that episode about how to find it. And so I'm not going to cover that again completely, but I'll do it briefly so you'll get the connection between that and having a life every day full of absolute purpose and power. And the way I talked about there is you have three ingredients. You have a set of existing skills, whatever they are, whether you're a teacher or a nurse or a doctor or a pizza delivery person or an artist or a visionary or a inventor or a techie, you have a set of existing skills. Sometimes they come from going to school. Sometimes they come from a trade you learned. Whatever it is, you have a set of existing skills. Most of our lives, we sell those skills in the marketplace, and that's how we make a living. That's what I did for that 30-year career. I acquired a skill in that particular area, and I did it well, and I made a lot of money, and so forth. But what was missing was I didn't have a purpose for that. I didn't have any... I got a funny thing sticking up in my hair today. I didn't have a meaning and purpose behind it. And the second of these three pillars is your divine gifts, your natural gifts, the things you're really good at. So when you don't have anything to do and you get to go, sometimes these turn into hobbies. You get to go and spend time like you want, creating. What do? Some people create a hobby. Some people are good at music or art, and there's sort of an external manifestation. Lots of those natural gifts are related to relationships and how we treat each other. And some people listen really well, and some people are empathetic, and some people just love organizing, and they're really good at leadership. So there are a whole list of those, and you have some. That's the second element of your superpower DNA. And the third element is your life experience. And the third one is the most important. It is the basket in which all these others unfold. And I had the opportunity today, And I meet new people nearly every day. I met two brand new people today I'd never talked to before. And where they came from was the summit that I spoke at this weekend. They attended the talks, a couple of the talks that I gave at different events this weekend, and they wanted to chat more. And so I got a chance today to get to know them a little better and learn more about them. The reason that I mention it is both of them have a passion in different ways and for different reasons to be of service. And it is 100% based on their life experience. Things that they have struggled with, things they've been through. One of them had a story about a parent who was kidnapped and what that did to the family and so forth. And one of them had a death, an untimely death that, you know, all of those kinds of things shape us. And whether you've had one of those huge events or whether it's just a series of other things, what I know for sure about you is you've had a lifetime full of challenges, some little, some big, and you have a lifetime full of them. One of the things that's just erupted in our world right now a few days ago was this terrible terrorist activity in the Middle East, with one group of people deciding they hate another group so badly that they're going to go and do cruel things. Now, that event is a huge one. It's a massive one, world-changing, life-changing. You know, estimates are over 1,000 people dead on one side and almost as many on the other. And that's just the beginning. We're just days into this, so it's going to go way up and be different. Now, my point is, some events in our lives shape us. They shape us powerfully. They drain us. They make us sad. They make us angry. All of those things happen because of these external events. Now, the key piece here isn't the event itself, because the event is what it is. The key piece that talks about what you have is how those events affect you. What do you do with those events? So, for example, this brutality that just occurred, I can tell you for sure, some people it's going to affect them in a way that they get full of rage, and that rage is going to drive some piece or a large piece of their lives for a day, a week, a month, a year, and maybe many years because this event happened. And I'm not saying judgment, I'm just saying that's going to happen. Others, the same event is going to affect them differently. Others are going to learn resilience. Others are going to learn how to cope with grief. Others are going to learn how to protect themselves better. There's going to be a heightened call for all kinds of stuff. I'm not talking about nations, although this involves that. I'm talking about your personal devastating struggles. Those big events in your life, they shape you. So when you look at those three things, your skills that you've learned, your natural gifts, and the shaping events of your life, if you put those together, you have a unique contribution to make in the world. Now, you can agree with me or disagree with me, but you do. And I have never, in all my conversations, hundreds and maybe thousands of individual conversations with people talking about their desires, what they want to be doing in the world to make a living and make a difference, it always comes from those three things. Always. You may be selling one of them in the marketplace right now, but it's never as powerful and never as fulfilling as when you combine them. When you add to your learned skills and your natural gifts the life experience that has tempered you, shaped you, refined you, maybe sometimes ruined you, okay? So those three things are the key elements of finding, guess what, your purpose. Now, today I want to talk about living with purpose and power. If you're looking for a purpose to drive your life that is meaningful and long-lasting, look there. Look inside of the events in your life that have shaped you. Now, if you're like me, I had a series of events that when they happened, they ruined me. It wasn't a war, but it was a set of personal circumstances that involved a lot of trauma and a lot of struggle. And so those events ruined me. And by ruined me, I struggled with depression. I struggled with addictions. I blamed myself for everything that was wrong around me. And a lot of self-sabotage ruined my life and then affected lives of many around me. And so when those events first happened to me, they ruined me in terms of I wasn't very useful. I was angry. I blamed people. I was bitter. I had, you know, struggles of addiction and all kinds of stuff in my life. As life went on, I had a choice. And this piece is really important. I had a choice. I can allow those events to keep shaping me forever till I die and stay bitter, angry, and not productive and adding good to the world, or I can choose to take those very same events and to look at them differently. And it doesn't excuse anybody that did anything wrong in that my situation or in the situation of these catastrophes in the world that are happening in the at least two wars that are big that we're knowing that we know are going on right now in the Middle East and in Europe. It doesn't excuse any of that, but how we choose to let those events affect us is the core, the very core of our ability to live with purpose. So when I talk about living with purpose and power, it is finding a purpose, declaring a purpose, embracing a purpose. Like, you know, some people are all about ending literacy problems or clean water or vaccinations or building schools or education or injustice or the rights of different groups of trampled people. All of those are noble causes. And you know what? You know for sure? The reason people embrace those causes almost always is something that was in their life experience. So if you want to find out where you can matter the most, look to your life experience. Look to your challenges. Look to the skills you have and the natural gifts. Look to those things. Now, here's the key about creating purpose. Even if you look at those things, it's not going to assemble itself together like a scene on some Harry Potter movie where the room puts itself back together. I'm reminded of, a scene in one of the movies where Dumbledore and Harry Potter are visiting someone and the room is a complete wreck. And, you know, Dumbledore waves his wand and slow motion while the room puts itself all back together again like it was pretty. Your purpose isn't going to emerge like that. Your passion and purpose emerges in the crucible of fire that is your life. That's important. And it's important because it is the very struggles that you have endured that give you energy to see that purpose through, especially when things get difficult. Okay? Think about crusaders in the past. Crusaders for women's votes, right to vote, and for, I could list a whole hundred things. All of those people have gone through hardships and struggles, and all of them, I dare say all of them, are fueled by their own personal set of experiences that have refined them in a way that says, that's what I'm dedicating my passion, my life, my energy, my effort, my vision, my cash, you know, and my heart to. Now, here's what I know about finding and then declaring a purpose. I know several things. One, it doesn't assemble itself. You have to pick. You have to look at those ingredients and say, this is who I am. Why? Because I said so. This is the cause. This is the passion that I have because I declare it to be that. And I'll give you another more concrete example. I told you struggles in my own life. Since I changed, since I decided I'm done living an old way, I'm going to declare this purpose. My purpose is to be a coach, be a people encourager, be a lover of people. One lady I talked to today, she called herself a lover of humanity, and my heart went out to her immediately. I know exactly what she means. She was talking about the sameness that we all have, more than the differences. So her declared purpose is to help people realize who they are, live in harmony, and create good things. Now, that is in spite of the fact that all this negative stuff is happening. There are always going to be some large group of people who don't want to have anything to do with that, who want to live dedicated to hate, dedicated to negativity, dedicated to cruelty, dedicated to self-enlargement. What's in it for me? I can't change that, and neither can you. There's going to be that group. What you and I can change, and this is your invitation to think about it, is what can we do? Instead of looking at all the things we can't do and being angry because we can't fix it, the question is, what can you do right here, right now? Now, I'm not advocating any particular cause, but I'll give you some examples. When the war in Europe started, my wife is Ukrainian. So when that war started, she immediately, out of the drive of her heart, looked for ways to help. So she booked a lot of Airbnbs that we never attended and so forth, and bought a lot of electronic products out of Ukraine. Why? So she could donate, send some money over there to help. Then further, we got involved in the refugee stuff, and we have a family now living with us. So those are just examples of what you can do instead of only being angry about what you can't fix in this atrocity that has just emerged in, you know, the Middle East. Obviously, support, help, reconstruction, building, all of those things are going to need to happen. What I encourage you to do is choose to be active and involved in the things that speak to your heart. We can choose to be self-absorbed and say, I can't fix it, so I'm going to do nothing. Or we can choose to lean in and love and create compassion and action in the ways that we can. So just because we can't do everything doesn't mean we shouldn't do anything. That's the message of that. So when I say living with purpose and power, the first piece is to find and declare a purpose. Find and declare a purpose. So when I think about, and I'm using me because it's who I know best and it's an easy example, when I speak or coach or work with messengers, visionaries, and movement makers, when I speak to or work with people who feel like they have a mission or a message or they want to create some kind of movement, I help them discover their most powerful assets and bring them to the world so they can make a difference and make a living. So that's what I do. I seek out people who are trying to make a difference. And with my own experience of doing that, a coach, I'm their coach, just like an athletic coach. Let's figure out what plays to run. Let's figure out how to get a higher score. Let's figure out how to, those are the ones in sports. If you're doing music or arts, how do you perform better? How do you have your lines be more natural and compelling? How do you sing in a more connected way if you're singing songs? All of those things get better when you work with a coach. I love being that coach. Now, I have purpose. My purpose is to help every person I can. That's why I'm doing this show. Create a life of purpose. I have one. My purpose is to love and serve you, and particularly those who are looking for purpose and feel like, I can't find it, I don't know what to do. And you might think it's easy to find, but I can tell you, nearly every single person that I talk to either doesn't feel like they have clarity around their purpose, they don't know what it is, and they don't know how to figure it out, or they kind of know what it is, but they don't know how to use it and do something, and or, yeah, they know what it is, or they think they know what it is, and they know what they could do, but they don't know how to make any money at it so that they can keep doing it and doing it on a bigger scale. Underpinning all this is the feeling of lack of confidence. So what if I go after that? So what if I try to make a difference? Nobody's going to listen. Nobody's going to care. It's not going to matter. Well, here's the three words. Clarity. Complete, clear understanding. Confidence, which is developed. It doesn't come in an Amazon box. Confidence comes from action. Clarity comes from action. And that's why I love this coaching work so much. Figuring out what are the actions you need to take. What is the goal you're trying to get to? I ask people all the time, okay, 90 days from now, New Year's essentially, what's going to be different in your life? What is your clear goal between now and then? Okay, what are the steps? What are the things that need to happen so that that is your reality in mid-January? People don't think about that. So, and then if they do, then it's like, yeah, but I can't do that anyway. Yeah, but. It sounds like wabbit, wabbit on old Bugs Bunny shows. It's just a bunch of excuses, and we end up arguing for our limitations. Now, if you hear this, me talking today, and you say, I don't want to do that anymore. I want to be someone who has clear purpose and mission. I want to be someone who develops, exudes, and speaks in confidence about my mission and purpose and why I'm alive. And I want to be able to make some money with it so I can keep doing it, so it pays its own way. Then that is what creating your ultimate life is about. That is my whole work. My work is to help people like you get to that goal line. And that's what your ultimate life is about. Living a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. I invite you to do three things. I know three things is a lot. Hold your breath. I invite you to get on my list, my email list, which you can do by going to my website, my name there. Get on my list. Why? Because I'm going to give you all kinds of stuff to get that done. You can get the five steps to your ultimate life. You can get a course called Master Your Monsters, which are those excuses we argue for. All kinds of stuff is available to help you find your purpose, declare it, make it real, turn it, get confidence and capability, and to make money at it. So that's the first thing. If you want help, that doesn't cost a thing. Accept your heart, your commitment. Because that's actually the most important thing. When people enroll in coaching programs that I have, the different kinds of programs cost whatever they cost, different amounts of money. And then, but before I will accept them as a client, you know what I say? I said, the money doesn't matter. What I need way more than money, and your money is just a token of that, is I need your full heart, your full attention, and your commitment to go all in and do what you've said you're going to do. That's what we need here. That's what will get the work done. The money is just a token of that commitment. So living with purpose and power. We've talked now this whole first time about purpose. One of the tools, one of the most important tools that I have created and I help you create is called a personal manifesto. And it's just what it sounds like. It is a constitution. It is a declaration of being, of who you are. Now, that personal manifesto, it's not designed to be impressive. It's not designed to be, you know, a flag you put up and wave for other people to look at and say, ooh, you sound cool. If you do it for that reason, it won't work. Because it's not about impressing others. This is an opportunity. It's an opportunity for you to make a decision, make a choice, and declare it to the universe, to yourself, to God. This is who I am. So I'll give you an example. Some of the words in mine, I call it a PTAC, a personal truth and commitment document. It's a private document, and when I work with clients to do it, it's very intense work. Because it involves eliminating all those stories about I'm not good enough, I can't do this, and, you know, who am I to fill in the blank. It involves eliminating all of those. Now, that doesn't mean that we're suddenly mighty and perfect. What it means is we're done playing small. We're done hiding behind I can't. Oh dear, what if I fail? We're done hiding behind those things. And you make a bold declaration that's all yours. Like, that's the fun part. You don't need anyone's permission or anyone's agreement for your own declaration. What I notice as I look at my declaration is that there are two kinds of statements. One is a statement of fact. Okay, it's not something I created. It's simply an acknowledgement of something that is. The other is an aspirational statement, something I declare myself to be, even though I'm still a work in progress. So let me give you an example. I'm a firm believer, because of dying and having conversations with God and knowing my purpose here. So one of my declarations is, I am a son of Almighty God. That is a fact. I didn't create that truth. It is what it is, and there's nothing I can do to change that. So why would I put it in a declaration about my purpose? Well, I'll tell you why. When I declare that truth to myself, and I do it every day, at least once, it changes how I feel. It changes the kind of energy I have, no matter what I'm doing. If I'm in the studio working on music, if I'm getting ready to talk to you here, if I'm getting ready to talk to brand new people like I did earlier today a couple of times, if I'm getting ready to coach a client, if I remind myself that I have a divine origin, and if you remind yourself that you are, it changes how we feel about ourselves. It changes our confidence. And I don't mean arrogance. It changes our love, our ability to love, empathize. It changes our creativity. Well, you're a son or daughter of God. You're infinitely capable. So it changes how we feel about ourselves. So those statements that are simply true, like, you know, you're divinely created, so am I, and I could just ignore it. Well, that just is, so what? But not so what? Because when I remind myself of that, it's like, okay, since I'm that, since I'm a divine creation, how would I show up in this conversation? How would I show up? An example, it just happened in the last few days. I had an email exchange with a friend, and there was a deadline, a missed deadline, and there was some confusion and some unhappiness and so forth. And it is easily one of those things that could escalate. Someone get mad and say this and that and back and forth. And you know how that goes, right? I said to myself, you know what? I'm a son of God. As that being, how would I handle this? Well, it would be with love, with compassion. And so that shaped immediately what I said, and the situation immediately diffused. Opinions may still be different. You know, the eventual outcome and action is still to be determined. But all of the energy that could have escalated evaporated instantly. Just because I reminded myself of a truth that I didn't create, but I acknowledged fully, fiercely, lovingly, furiously. Okay, so that's one. The second part is statements that are aspirational, meaning they're a work in progress. What are those? Well, I'll give you an example of one of those. One of those says, I am my word. I could leave it at that, but I say something more than that because I want to elaborate. And again, this is not for anyone else's consumption. I'm sharing it with you as an illustration. I say, I am my word. I speak only truth. I do what I say, and I am who I seem, with no camouflage, duplicity, or guile. Guile is a little used word that means deception. Well, I added all those other words because I want to remind myself of those things. Now, I'm not perfect by any stretch, and those that know me know that, 100 miles. So those are aspirational statements, but when I declare them boldly and clearly, looking myself in the eyes, it changes who I am. It changes how I think about myself. It changes how I think about you and you being you right now, every single person. Because when I talk to somebody, they're the only person in my whole world, Right here, right now, we are in this conversation together. And that's it. Another one that's like that, that is also aspirational, is I am forgiveness. I hold no judgment, anger, or loathing toward anyone for anything, including myself. That's certainly aspirational for me. You may not have, but, you know, anger, frustration, somebody ought to pay, that kind of feeling. It's not a strange thing for us to have as humans. But because I declare that and I've made a choice to never hold any negative energy, it reminds me of that. So to create and to live in purpose, for me, required work on that. Now, my personal truth and commitment document is several pages. It's in big font, so I don't mean it's hundreds and hundreds of words, but it's quite long, and I have it memorized, and it is my personal constitution. And every time I say it, it reminds me of my purpose. It recommits me to my purpose. And then I'm able to go at the day completely focused and incidentally full of joy. I lean into every single thing that comes, even when stuff sucks and it doesn't go my way, which happens all the time. You know that. My question is always, oh, cool. I wanted A and I got J. What can I make with J? I got this. I want that. Well, what's the gift here? Always asking that question because I can't change what's already happened, but I can choose what I make out of it. A funny example is the saying, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. That's the idea. You take what is and you create something. So now I want to talk about the other piece. Excuse me. I have this cough today. So living with purpose and power. Where do we get power? Where do you get power to finish, to start, to persevere, and to complete whatever you're doing? Well, if you think about getting from one place to another, you put, you know, if you have a gas vehicle, you put gas in there. If you have an electric one, you plug it in, but you charge it up. You charge up your vehicle with whatever the appropriate fuel is. If you're going to go for a long bike ride, you eat. If you're going to run a marathon, you carbo load, like you load the vehicle of your work. That's power. If you're going to climb a mountain, I don't care if it's a physical mountain, a financial mountain, if you're going to create something new, you're going to write a book or create a painting or do anything. If you're going to create that, you need energy. You need a source of continual power. Well, for the body, that's obviously sleep and nourishment. But sleep and nourishment aren't usually the things that keep us from doing these aspirational goals, these things where I'm declaring a purpose and I'm dedicating my love, my time, my energy, and everything to accomplish some goal just because I said so. Not to prove anything, but it comes out of our heart, the essence of who we are, that divine being. Well, if I want to create power, it doesn't come in a box from Amazon or Walmart or anything else. It's something we have to do on purpose. So how do you create power? I don't know the answer, and it's not a trick question. How do you create motivation? How do you create perseverance? How do you create good creative energy to see something through? Because this whole show is about creating that ultimate life, a life you love to get up to every day. Now, I have a funny thing. I get up early. I usually get up at 5 or 5:30. And some days I just get up early. And today I got up at 3:30. Why in the world would I get up at 3:30? Well, I wake up, and how it feels is spirit wakes me. And I know when it's the spirit, because when it's not, it's easy to go back to sleep. When spirit wakes me, my mind is full of ideas. Today, I had several people, new people I was going to talk to, and it turned out wonderfully. Today, I had three videos I was going to make that are bonus content for a series of books I'm releasing. I'll tell you about that in a minute. And when I wake up with that kind of feeling, then I know it's spirit. And I just get up and get after the day. And sometimes today, when I get up that early, then I'll need to take a nap or two. And I did that, a couple of half-hour naps. But that's fine. So how do you create power? Well, when you have a passion, when you really want to get something done, you're motivated. You just stay at it. You just keep going until it's done because your goal is to get it done. So what I do with my personal declaration, that document that I talked about in all of its lengthy glory, I read it or I say it more than once. And I don't just mumble some words, blah, 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 blah. I look in the mirror, I stand up, and I recite it like a declaration to the universe or a prayer to God. It's a commitment or a recommitment of who I am. And what I have found is doing that creates power. And if it doesn't, and this is a real key, if it doesn't, you have to look at the document. Am I saying things I no longer want, no longer believe in, no longer care about? What has changed? The principle here is change the document. Line it up with who you truly want to be, what you truly want to have in the world. Like the sort of woo-woo way to ask that question is, who do you want to be in the world? As you walk through the world, and people were to describe you, what do they say? Oh, yeah, grumpy every time they walk in the room. Take a wide berth there. You know, every time she's here, it's just joyful. There's so much positive energy. Oh, you know what? He's always got a good thing to say about other people. Like, who do you want to be in the world? Because you can create that. And the way you get energy to continue to be that is with this recommitment. So the two most important things I've done in the 16 years since I reinvented my life is one, to create this living, breathing document, personal truth and commitment. And it changes, like I said, when it needs to be more clear, to be more relevant. And the second thing is the daily commitment process. I call it a morning ritual, but it is a powerful recommitment process that I do every day. And that recommitment process just gets me fired up. I'm excited. I'm dancing. I'm happy. I'm eager. I jump into my work because it's not even work. It's joyful creation. I get to be creative and do that every single day. And you can too. So this is the purpose of today's conversation about living with purpose and power. This is not limited to a few weirdos that live on the fringe. This is your birthright and your opportunity. If you are not living right now with purpose every day, you are not on fire with power every day to get this, let's talk, because you have a right to be. It is your opportunity and your birthright. Now, you don't have to. People are addicted to mediocrity. Lots of people settle for the easy and obvious. Not very many people get to the podium in the Olympics. Not very many people are on sports teams that win championships. Why? Because they're not willing to do the work. They're not willing to go after the gold in life, the gold in the, you know, gold medal, whatever it is, your version of that. But if you are yearning for that, if you're done settling for the easy and obvious, if you're done being addicted to mediocrity, if something's happened in your life where you put your fist down or your foot down, say, I'm finished with this. I'm going to do the work to be the best I can be, is the phrase, right? I'm going to do that just because I'm tired of this other. I said so. It's who I am. It's my birthright. I'm going to honor that feeling I keep having. Now, that description, that's why I say, as a coach, I certainly don't work with everybody. I work with people who are motivated, who view themselves as messengers. They have learned something in their life that they want to share. Often that comes in the form of writing a book or in the form of creating a product or service. And the thing that's important isn't the product or service or book. It is the motivation. And I call those messengers, right? They've got a message and they want to get it to the world. That's the people I also interview on here. In the next couple of weeks, we've got some really good guests coming that are messengers, messengers that have something to share with you. And I, you know, this is going to be their opportunity to do that with this audience. It's a lot of fun. The other, another kind of person that I work with in my mission is people that are visionary. People that have a vision of a better, what, world, society, framework, education thing, better health, you know, better wealth, better happiness. One of the people I just talked to, I think it was yesterday, and I, again, I talked to a lot of new people, their mission and purpose was relationships, specifically focused on not necessarily romantic relationships, although that was part of it, but really the relationship you have with yourself. Like, what do you believe about yourself? Do you talk nicely to yourself? Do you hate yourself? In secret, if your broadcast, if your inner dialogue were broadcast on Times Square, would you be proud of it? Would it sound encouraging and good, or would it sound like a hate tirade? Would you be ripping yourself all the time or excusing bad behavior? Well, you know, that kind of conversation. So that was her purpose, is to help people love themselves, love each other, and to use that growth in relationships to make things better. Now, if you go back to the triple helix, which is your gifts, your skills, your gifts, and your life experience, you can find and declare a purpose. If you do that and put it on paper and revise it, you can have something that you do every day that lights your candle, that makes you joyfully go to work, joyfully look after your kids if you have them, joyfully work on that side hustle, get that book written, get that hobby turned into a business if you want to, volunteer in the community, turn your passion into profit. All of those things are possible if you go at it with the kind of energy and process that I'm talking about here. Now, I've got an announcement to make, and this is the very last Tuesday, the very last episode that I have before my new year. My new year's this coming Saturday, October 14th. So I have had a goal all this year, and I called it the Road to 50 Million. And my commitment was to help to reach 50 million people with this message of hope, of optimism, of encouragement, of go get it done, you're divine, you're capable, you can do it, and offer all the help I could in the form of products, services, books, and everything else to invite those people into their own possibility and their own purpose, like we've talked about today. My year ends this Saturday. We reached our goal. The combined audiences that I've been able to address is about 75 million. Now, how I figured that out was just adding up the audiences of all the shows that I've been on and my own podcast and books and all the places I've been able to do outreach with this message. You are part of that. Whether or not it impacts you, does anything matters, is going to depend entirely on whether or not you are ready to end addiction to mediocrity, end arguing for your limitations, end excuses, and say, even if it's just a tiny step forward, I'm done explaining to myself why I can't. I'm going to take a step in the dark, in the unknown, in the uncertainty, anyway, just because I said so. So that is one announcement. The year ends. Next Tuesday will be the first time that I'm in the new year. Now, the next couple of weeks, I think I've got guests lined up that'll be fun, so I won't be talking about my goals on the show. Maybe it might get mentioned. I don't know. It depends on how the interview goes. But if you want to know what those new goals are, get on my Facebook page. I'm not hard to find. Kellen Flukiger is not complicated. I'll be making announcements about those, and you are invited and involved. You can be part of this new process, because one of the things that I'm doing in an even bigger way is inviting you, if you're a messenger, if you're a visionary, if you're a movement maker, if you have something that's on your heart, to share it. And I want to help you do that on this show, on my podcast, somewhere, to help you with your effort to add good to the world. So that's one thing. The new year's starting. The next thing is I'm really close to having the book, Living with Purpose and Power, that we've been talking about today, published. It'll be about 3 weeks, right at the end of October, to have that book in on Amazon and in the public domain. It is the sum of everything I've learned in 16 years about how to create cash, purpose, prosperity, how to make a difference, how to fulfill your heart's desires, how to repair relationships, everything I've learned about how to create that kind of power I'm talking about is going to be in that book, so look for it. There'll also be a number of social media posts, reading excerpts from the book. There'll be some conversation about it coming, and I'll be talking about that more on some podcast episodes. If you're not subscribed to the podcast, it's also Your Ultimate Life. You can find it on Apple and iTunes and Deezer and Spotify and Amazon and all those places. So please take a listen, unless you're not interested in that kind of encouragement and growth. But if you are, that's more that you can have. And I love doing it for you and being there with you. And I'd love to get to know you and talk to you. Now, that's the second announcement. So there's a new year coming. That book is right quick. And the third announcement is an even bigger thing. There's a set of books, a four-book compilation. Now, as a family here, we decided to rewatch all the Harry Potter movies. So we're going through that. And we've got one left. You know what a director's cut is, right? It's an edition of a movie where they put back deleted scenes, and like the Return of the King, the last movie of the Lord of the Rings, there's a director's cut that I think is about 35 or 40 minutes longer. So there's lots of more stuff in it, and they're kind of fun to have. Well, I'm issuing a director's cut of a four-volume set, and that's coming for Christmas. It'll be around the 1st of December. So I'm mentioning it now. I'll mention it several more times. But the four-volume set is this personal transformation set. It starts with meeting God at the door. That book describes the time that I died in 2018, 5 years ago. The second book is called The Book of Context, which is about, and it also came from that near-death experience and those conversations with God, but it's about how to change your beliefs. Like, we live limited by what we believe is possible until we realize it's just a belief. We could believe something else, and that changes what's possible for us. A silly example is, if I didn't think I could ride my bike to the end of the street, I wouldn't get on it. If I know or believe really strongly I can ride it to the end of the street and beyond, then getting on it's not a big deal. Your beliefs change what you try and change what you accomplish. When we believe the earth was flat, we didn't do this, that, till somebody said, maybe there's another belief. How do you change your deep-seated beliefs, the ones that limit you? That's what the Book of Context is about. The third book in the Director's Cut series is called Walking Without Fear. And it is an entire manual on how to eliminate fear from your life. You do not need to live in fear. It doesn't mean things don't happen that you don't like. Of course they do. But it is how I have learned and have watched others and helped others get fear out of the equation. Well, I want to do this, but I'm afraid it'll fail. I'm afraid this won't work. I'm afraid. And consequently, we limit ourselves. So walking without fear is the third one. And the fourth one is the one that I just talked about, living with purpose and power. So the initial release of Purpose and Power will be at the end of this month, and it will be re-released, new cover, all kinds of bonus content. So just like the movies, there's going to be a ton of bonus content in these newly released editions. So those things are coming. Why am I telling you this? It isn't to sell books. It's because this is my life work. I'm offering these things to you because with the processes and struggle that I've gone through in my old life and my new life, I know several things. You are a divine being with infinite power. You may or may not be using it, but you have it. There's nothing you can't create for your life if you want it. Now, wanting it doesn't mean just wishing it would show up in an Amazon box. Keep picking on Amazon. Or in a Walmart delivery or Costco or whatever. It doesn't work that way. If you want to get up the mountain, you got to go. You got to climb. That might mean preparation. That might mean learning new skills. That might mean changing stories about what's possible for you. But it is possible. So you're a divine being. You can create anything you want. The only limits that really exist about what you can have are the ones you accept. Now, I used to think that was a bunch of baloney, but I have learned as I've walked this path that it's absolute truth. And that includes real world things like business and money and finances and relationships and real world things. There's no limit. You can have that. That's what I know. You're divine. You can have anything you want and you can create it. But what I also know is if you don't start, it'll never happen. I know that for sure. But I know that if you start right now, even with a tiny step and move forward, no one can keep you from your goals, your destination, your dreams, your wishes, and living with purpose and power. If I can help you in any way, that's my whole life. Is helping people like you who want it, who want to move forward and create your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.